We ready for war, never back down, give me some more. We came for the title, killing the game. Welcome into another episode of Patrick Jones Baseball. On this week's episode, we are talking about the transfer portal. So the way I try to set up this podcast is I try to make the topics applicable to the time of year that the episode comes out. And what I mean by that is I don't want to talk a ton about mechanics during the middle of the season. And that's just an example, right? I don't want hitters and even coaches like obsessing about mechanics during the season. I just think there's a way more things that are more important. And that also applies to the recruiting side as well. Like I want it to be where it's like, okay, when I feel like we need to talk about recruiting, I'm going to put out recruiting content because I'm getting a lot of questions on recruiting, or I'm currently working with players in recruiting, and here are some of the issues that are coming up, and I just want to share those with everybody. And so this week, it's all about the transfer portal. That's what this episode is going to be about. So if you're like, hey, I only want to hear about the mental game, or I only want to hear about some sort of mechanical cue or something like that, this is not going to be the episode for you. All right, so this week we're talking about the transfer portal, and I wanted to talk about that for a variety of reasons. One, I currently work with several players who are going to go in the transfer portal, and I've worked with players in the past who have gone in the transfer portal and have found new places to play. And so there's a ton of things that I've learned from that. And it's different than high school recruiting. And we'll get into some of the reasons why. And so I think that the first thing that I want to say is you got to ask yourself a question as to why do you want to go in the transfer portal? Because, and I sent this out on Twitter the other day, the majority of players who go in the transfer portal should not go in the transfer portal. I will get a ton of emails from people asking if I can help them, and the majority of them I can't help. And the reason why I can't help is because here's the typical scenario. All right. Have a kid. There's three scenarios. Okay. There's the first scenario where it's a kid who's at a Division I school right now, but he's not playing very much. And he wants to go in the transfer portal and then thinks that just because he played at a Division I school, that another Division I school is just going to come in and pick him up. Not how it works, all right? Not how it works. Reason why is college baseball, especially at the highest levels, is about winning games. And so you have to always think about it from a college coach's perspective. Why would they want to go, if they're a Division I school, all right, third Division I school, why would they want to go and get somebody out of the portal who wasn't playing at another Division I school and pick them up to play at their Division I school when they could just go and get somebody who maybe is at Division II or Division III or JUCO and was just an All-American and absolutely tore it up? It's kind of a no-brainer, right? They're going to go, and most of the time they're going to get somebody at a D2 or D3 school over someone who sat the bench at a Division I school, just because it's like, why would you go take the risk? That person clearly wasn't good enough to play at that Division I school, so why would you go and give them a chance to play at your school when they have no track record, they have no numbers? And I've even had players reach out in the past who were at Power 5 schools and want to go to the transfer portal, and they didn't have any track record. So that's a pretty hard sell. And this is why I tell a lot of players in the high school recruiting process, it's like, man, it's very hard to transfer if you go to a Power 5 and you don't play. You pretty much have to transfer to a junior college and then put up big numbers, and then you can go and transfer back to a four-year school. Because, again, it's a numbers game at the college level. So it's going to come down to your numbers. And we'll get into exactly what that means and entails from a pitcher standpoint, from a position player standpoint. But first thing is just, why do you want to transfer? So I had mentioned that that's the first scenario of a Division I player not playing very much and wants to transfer and thinks he's only wants to go D1, but he has no numbers to back up anything. The second scenario is a Division II or Division III player who has decent numbers, but they're not like jaw-dropping numbers and thinks for sure that they should be going Division I. And here's the thing. I've had several players who have played Division III baseball and went to the transfer portal and reached out to me, and we were able to help them find a place to play at Division I. But they dominated at these particular Division III schools. They absolutely dominated. And so it has to be a situation where you are hands down dominating at the school you're at. You're putting up really good numbers. Your strikeout to walk ratio is very good. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. But point blank is you're just dominating, right? That's the scenario where it's like, okay, like now we can have a discussion, because now there's actually a chance that, you know, you can transfer to a Division I school. And then I would say the last situation that I hear a lot about is a player who, you know, it played very, very well at like a mid-major school or even at a Division II school, and wants to transfer to increase their chances of playing professional baseball. And like all the other scenarios, there's pros and cons of that, no doubt about it. But, you know, that's usually the last scenario. And, you know, those players who have dominated at a higher level, they're going to get a lot of offers. It just comes down to what's going to be the right offer for them. Because I can promise you this, there's a college coaches, they're like car salesmen, a lot of them. Not all of them, of course, but some of them are, for sure. And quite frankly, I don't blame them. Heck, I probably would be too if my livelihood was, you know, was going to be built around college baseball and winning. And it's like that the higher up you get, especially. So there are certain programs that I trust and I want to send players to. And then I'll be honest, there are certain players where I stray away from talking to or trying to send players to. And that's just the nature of the beast. And and obviously I would, you know, blackmail myself forever if I mention any of those programs on the podcast. So I can't do that. But, you know, that's where I would say I probably provide the most value to the players, is just understanding what programs to go to for those players who have put up numbers and are going to get several offers from different schools. So now that we know about why, per se, you're going to transfer or want to get in the transfer portal. And oh, before I forget, you know, the last scenario is, you know, there's going to be, maybe there's an issue with the coach and, you know, you need to transfer because of that, right? There's scenarios where it's maybe there's issue with the coach, there's a grade scenario. The one thing I will say with issues like that is make sure you talk to your coach before you transfer, right? I think it's always best if you can handle situations and stay and make the most of it at the place you're at. So I think if you can stay, but you got to make sure you talk to your coach, right? Don't just assume. Your coaches have a lot of things going on. And so I always encourage players to talk to their coaches and be transparent of where they stand and things like that. And if you, it's always best if you can stay and turn the situation around where you're at. Sometimes you can't, but I think more times than not, you got to give yourself that chance and talk to your coach. So that's the first thing I want to talk about, is just why you're transferring. One of the most frustrating things I can remember about the recruiting process as a high school player was just not knowing what to do, not knowing what camps to go to, not knowing how to get connected with college coaches, not knowing where I stood in the recruiting process, and lastly, just not knowing what college coaches are looking for. So one of the things that I've been doing over the last several years is helping high school baseball players in the recruiting process. And because of this podcast, I've been able to develop relationships with hundreds of college coaches across the country, and have been able to place players across the country at various levels and different programs. So if you're somebody who needs help in the recruiting process, needs help getting your name out there, getting connected with college coaches, head to my website, patrickjonesbaseball.com/recruiting, and sign up for a time to speak with me to see if we can work together and I can help you in your recruiting process. So patrickjonesbaseball.com/recruiting. All right, here we go, back to the pod. You know, now I'm going to talk a little bit about just some things you should know, some of the rules. And this is where I think the NCAA doesn't do a very good job at all of just it's hard to find a lot of these rules, and then you find the rules and it's like hard to understand. Like it feels like a secret a lot of times. And so I wanted to share some of these things with you. So the first day as a Division One player, all right, the first day you can enter the portal is Monday, June 3rd. Monday, June 3rd. And then the final day you can enter the portal is Tuesday, July 2nd. So the way the NCAA has done it now is there's different windows where you can enter the portal. So that's another new rule change. So the first window, if you haven't already entered it, is Monday, June 3rd. So Monday, June 3rd, a lot of you, if you enter the portal, you're going to get a lot of calls from college coaches. And later on in the podcast, we'll get into what exactly that means. But just know the first day to enter the portal, Monday, June 3rd. And then the last day you can enter the portal is Tuesday, July 2nd for this window, this transfer portal window. And the next window won't be available until several months down the road. One of the things to note is there's several Division One schools that will not take players if they have too many credits. So I had this issue with a player in the past who was good enough to play Division One college baseball, but he had too many credits. So he had to transfer. He had gone to three prior schools, not Division One. One was Division One. The other two were one was a junior college, and I believe the other was an NAIA, I believe. And so anyway, he wasn't able to transfer to a Division One school because he had too many credits. And there was just so many Division One schools out there who wanted him. And because he had too many credits, the school wouldn't let him in. And so you may ask, like, why is that? I think what it really comes down to is just the school doesn't want to give a degree to somebody who just came in for a year and took a couple, 12 credit hours, and then gets their prestigious degree. And so that's the reason why. But the reason why isn't necessarily that important. Point being is you can have too many credits, and Division I schools, because of that, not everyone is going to take you because of you have too many credits. So just something to note. If you've transferred, if this is going to be your fourth school, you're going to run into that issue if you solely want to go to a Division I school. So I mentioned earlier about why you're entering the transfer portal. The majority of players that I see enter the portal probably should not enter the portal because they have unrealistic expectations. As I mentioned earlier, if you did not dominate at your previous school, don't expect to go to a higher level or stay at the level you're currently at. All right, so that's just something to know. In high school, it's all about a lot of times it's projecting, right? We're trying to project players where they're going to be at. And at the college level in the transfer portal process, it's less about projecting and it's a numbers game, right? It's not necessarily, well, I think he can do this, he can do that. It's a numbers game. And it always kills me because a lot of times you'll hear players, well, I had a lot of walks, but that was the first week of the season, and ever since, it doesn't matter. Your numbers are your numbers, right? That's like me going out and saying, I was a career 400 college hitter in the month of April. Your stats only matter one time, and that's after the last out of the last game. Those are your numbers, all right? That's baseball. That's how the game works. It's the season's ups and downs, and you have slumps and hot streaks and cold streaks. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what your numbers are at the end of the year, not why they happen, when they happen. Your numbers are your numbers. And so that's something to know. It's a numbers game when it comes to the transfer portal. It's less about projecting. We'll get into why college coaches specifically get into the transfer portal in a little bit, but I want to continue down this numbers route. So pitchers, the biggest thing is strikeout to walk ratio. All right. And when I say even, it's not even necessarily even strikeouts, it's how many walks per innings pitched, because college baseball is not like professional baseball in the sense of it's not about development as much as everyone says it is and things like that. You have to be able to throw strikes. If you're walking players, I don't care if you throw 100 miles an hour going in the transfer portal, the majority of schools they're going to be scared off. They just are, because it's about winning games. And if you're putting free runners on, you're not going to get outs. You're not going to help your team win games. And so how many walks you have per innings pitched is very important. And, you know, if we want to get even deeper, the strikeout to walk ratio, hey, are you striking out a ton of guys too? It's showing your stuff's nasty and you're not walking a ton of players, you're getting outs. Okay. But if you're someone who has pitched 30 innings and has 30 walks, it's going to be very hard to go to a Division I school. And it doesn't even matter how hard you throw at that point. It doesn't matter, you know, why, you know, you're injured. Not, nobody cares. It just, they just see the walks, not even going to take a look at it. I'm just telling you from all the conversations that I've had with college coaches, from a pitcher standpoint, the walks are the biggest red flag for pitchers. From a hitter standpoint, it's a little bit similar. It's that strikeout to walk ratio. And you know, a lot of college coaches will ask, and I've even had some schools at higher level Division II schools is, okay, like how many strikeouts does he have on the year, right? How many at-bats and how many strikeouts? And, you know, the reason is like, man, if they can't control the strike zone at the level they're at, what makes them think they can control the strike zone when they start facing better pitching, right? So if you're someone who has 30 strikeouts to 10 walks, you better have 15 bombs to go with that, or else it's going to be very hard to convince a Division I school to take a look at you if you're at a lower level, unless you're just a defensive savant or something like that, or just a, you know, have 50 stolen bases, right? It's something like that. So you have to be able to control the strike zone. So that strikeout to walk ratio is very, very important. It's the first thing that I look at when I look at hitters and whether or not I think they can make that transition from a D2 to a D3 to a D1 is what's the strikeout to walk ratio. So that's something to look at. And then obviously you're going to look at power numbers too to go with that. As I mentioned, it becomes more lenient if you have more power or if you have some other skill, right? So if let's say, for example, let's just say hypothetically you have 30 strikeouts to 8 walks, which is okay, but you know, you have 15 home runs. Well, it's like, okay, now it becomes more intriguing. So yeah, there's some more swing and miss there, but there's also some power behind that as well. But what even to take it a step further is, okay, well, what position is this player? Is this player an up-the-middle type player? Like now you're even more valuable, even though you do strike out because you got power, but you also play a very, you know, important position. Or is it a corner player? Because if you're a corner outfielder, if you don't hit, you're not that valuable to the team. I hate to say it, but I was a corner outfielder. So I feel like if anybody can say that, it's going to be me. Because I played corner outfield in college, and when I didn't hit, I didn't play. And at the time, it was like, oh, this isn't fair, coach this or that. Well, now I know, I didn't know at the time, and now I know is, well, you don't provide that much value defensively because a lot of people can play corner outfield. So if you're not hitting, you're not that valuable to the team versus somebody up the middle. And so that's why position is very important too. And so if you're someone who plays corner outfield versus someone who plays shortstop, you're going to be evaluated a lot differently when it comes to that, all right? So those are some things that I think are just important to note. So obviously, look, I get this all the time when I put out recruiting content online is, you know, you never mention grades. All right, so I'm going to mention grades. You need to have good grades, all right? You need to have good grades. So there we go. You need to have good grades in order to transfer. Make sure that, you know, you go to the NCAA Eligibility Center registration. Make sure everything is taken care of there. You know, if you want to major in something specific, you got to make sure that, you know, you communicate that too throughout the process. So grades are important. Character is very important as well. Look, there's trusted contacts like myself and everybody else. You know, there's tons of trusted contacts out there to help college coaches with that. You know, that's, look, in this day and age, it doesn't really matter how good you are. If you don't have good character, I mean, you would have to be freaking Mike Trout for a coach to take a chance on you at a Power 5 type school or high level school, just because that the chemistry is so important in a locker room. And so you have to have good character too. So here are some typical questions I get when it comes to the transfer portal. Can you enter the transfer portal and then come back to your school if you don't get any offers? This is a great question, right? So let's say, for example, on June 3rd, you go in the transfer portal and you don't get any offers. Could you come back go back to your current school for the next season? Well, it depends. All right. And here's what I mean by that. There are some coaches who they're okay with their players going into the portal. And then if they don't get anything they like or any offers or any interest, they're more than welcome to come back to school. But there's also coaches out there who tell their players, if you go in the portal, don't bother coming back. It's just different. Whether you think one's right or wrong, I'm just letting you know that's just how it works. So different coaches have different philosophies when it comes to that stuff. Is there some who are like, hey, like, yeah, go for it, man. We want you to try, and if you know, want to go someplace else or whatever, you know, we like having you here, but if you don't want to come back, we get it. Like, you know, no worries. But if you, you know, you don't get what you want and you do want to come back, we would love to have you. And then there are other coaches where it's like, hey, if you go in the portal, like, we don't want to see you back here. That's just something that's going to be individualized per program. So bigger isn't always better. You know, I think I've had players reach out when it comes to professional baseball. You know, I think I've had players reach out and they're like, oh, I'm currently a Division III school, but I want to play professional baseball and I have good numbers. It's like, okay, if your ultimate goal, and this is understanding the very first thing I said, you know, why are you transferring in the first place? If your ultimate goal is to play professional baseball, the data is the data. I mean, there's not very many guys playing Division II and Division III college baseball who are getting drafted out of Division II and Division III college baseball. The majority, and it's not even close, the majority is out of a Division I school. So if you want to play professional baseball, transferring to a Division I school is ultimately going to be your best route if that's what you want to do. And look, I get it. There are schools out there, Division II schools, who could beat Division I schools and who have beat Division. There's Division III schools who could beat Division I. And I get all that. But I'm just looking at the data. I'm not saying like whether I agree with it or whether if I was a scouting director, I wouldn't draft more players out of Division II or Division III. I'm just looking at the data, and the data is overwhelmingly MLB teams are drafting kids out of Division I schools more than any other level, and it's not close. Speaking college sense, not even taking into consideration high school. So that's something to, again, just want to clarify that. But when it comes to Division I school, transferring to the biggest school possible doesn't necessarily increase your chances of getting drafted, because at the end of the day, it's a numbers game too. Like, you have to be able to get on the field and play. And so if you look at this, whatever school you're thinking about transferring to, even if it's a mid-major, if you go there and freaking tear it up, you're got a very good chance of getting drafted, versus if you go to a Power 5 school and you just play, you know, once every 2 to 3 games, very less likely to get drafted. And you look at past data when it comes to the draft and players who have gotten drafted, you'll see schools that are mid-major schools from kids who are getting drafted from. It doesn't have to be Power 5. You have to play, and then you have to dominate when you play. So mid-major versus Power 5, look, obviously an ideal scenario, if the ultimate goal is professional baseball, we all want to go Power 5 and we all want to play every day and then put up big numbers. Sure, that's the best case scenario, but when you're playing with fire a little bit, because at those Power 5 levels, coaches, they're hired and fired a lot more quickly than at the mid-major schools. So if you go there and you don't produce and you don't play well in the fall, they may not have a spot for you in the spring. Which brings me to my final point, which is scholarship and NIL money. So speaking of Power 5 schools, and this is applicable to also high school recruiting too as well. When a school offers you money, you need to ask, this is specifically for Power 5 offers. When a school offers you money, you need to understand, where is that money coming from? Is that baseball athletic scholarship money, or is that NIL money? Here's why. If it's NIL money that they're offering you, they can cut you at any time throughout the year, and they don't have to pay you any more of that NIL money. So if they're like, hey, they see you in the fall and you know, November rolls around, and they're like, nope, not it. This isn't working out. Boom, they can cut you and they don't have to pay you any more NIL money. Done. However, if it's baseball athletic scholarship money, they have to honor that the entire season. So they are much less likely to cut you if you go there in the fall and you struggle right away. But there's some schools, and again, this is only for really the higher level players and prospects, because it's only talking about Power Five schools. They may offer you money, but they may just say how much money is they're offering you. But if they don't, but if you don't necessarily ask where it's coming from, you may not even necessarily even know, right? So that's why you should ask: is it NIL money, or is this going to be a baseball athletic scholarship money? And so I think that's something for the higher level players you should clarify, because again, you're kind of covering your you know what if you go there and you don't play well. If you're solely on NIL money, they're much less likely to get rid of you and save that NIL money, versus if you're on athletic money, scholarship money, they're much less likely because to cut you if you struggle, because they have to honor that throughout the entire season. So to wrap things up, the very last topic is going to be summer collegiate college baseball. And summer collegiate college baseball is very important because, a lot of times college coaches, they want to see players in person before they offer them. And so I think if you're playing in a league that's way the heck on the West Coast or way out there, and the majority of college coaches can't come and actually watch you in person, it's going to be a little bit harder unless you have crazy numbers, versus if someone's in the Northwoods Leagues, in the Coastal Plains Leagues, in one of the leagues that are in the Midwest or on the eastern part of the country. Again, just solely because college coaches want to be able to go and watch you play in person at times. And again, this is not necessarily for the higher level players, the higher level prospects who are going to get offers just because they put up stupid numbers. But if you're a Division II or Division III player, a coach is more likely to want to see you in person before they give you an offer. So you want to make sure that if you can, you're in a summer collegiate league that's in a part of the country where the majority of Division I schools are, if that's where you ultimately want to go. So hopefully this episode helped you. Like I said, I currently work with players in the transfer portal process. If you need help in the transfer portal process, please reach out to me, jonesbaseballtraining@gmail.com.